Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Heart and Soul for Women of Faith, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Prosperity. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, with my guest, Jackie Roberge, who will talk with us today, May 11th, 2011, about the sometimes hidden blessing in a woman's cancer journey. Jackie, I'm so glad you could join us. How are you today? And would you please tell our guests where you're calling in from?
Yes, Jory, I am so thrilled to be here. I'm calling from sunny Montreal.
That's great.
Really looking forward to this.
Well, we're so happy that you could be with us. And I'm wondering if you'd please share a few key points that we'll be discussing today.
Sure. I will talk today, of course, about that hidden blessing in the cancer journey and how we can shift from fighting cancer to accepting and more inner peace, and that really leads to a deeper healing. How people can play a more active role in their healing, doing things every day that they feel are contributing to their well-being. And also we'll touch a little bit on the permission that cancer gives people, and very different levels of permission to slow down, to reflect on life. And I hope we'll get into the passion side of it too. And I know it's a big part of your show, but how passion energizes people's healing journey as well.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Jackie. And before we jump into your interview, I just want to say a word about my own business, if I may,
sure,
about this show and how you can participate in our weekly conversations on Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. I'm a former attorney, law professor, and Youth for Christ ministry director who started my own coaching and consulting firm in August 2008. I specialize in helping Christian women entrepreneurs build vibrant, successful businesses so they can make a bigger, more meaningful difference in the world and glorify God through their work. I would love to help you integrate calling, confidence, and clarity into your business so you can serve all of the people you're meant to serve with your unique, God-given gifts. I hope you'll visit my website at womenfindpurpose.com or email me at Jory, J-O-R-Y, at womenfindpurpose.com if you'd like to learn more about who I am and what I do. This show, Heart and Soul for Women of Faith, is specifically designed for Christian women leaders and entrepreneurs who strive to lead purposeful, passionate, prosperous lives and make a significant contribution to the world we live in. My guests and I will inspire you to find and follow and fulfill your own divine calling as we share our journeys and our suggestions for achieving personal and professional success. You can listen to any of my archived on-demand shows by going to blogtalkradio.com/Jory, J-O-R-Y, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, and clicking on the show you wish to hear. And for your convenience, you can add episodes to your iTunes library directly from my Heart and Soul show page on blogtalkradio.com. During Jackie's interview, I'll monitor the chat room and phones to see if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests that you'd like me to relay to our guest on air. And please note that you do have to register with Blog Talk Radio first if you wish to participate in the chat room. You can do that from the blogtalkradio.com homepage. If you wish to ask a question or make a comment by phone, press 1 to raise your hand. And now it is my honor and privilege to introduce Cancer Shift Coach Jackie Roberge. Jackie has been guided from a career in marketing toward her most purposeful work, empowering women to make their cancer journey purposeful. She specializes and is passionate about helping women with cancer see their cancer journey in a new light and find the blessing in their struggle. She helps them move from fear and anger to a place of increased acceptance, clarity, peace, and joy, a place where deep healing can happen. Jackie is a meditation teacher, a certified yoga instructor, and a true purpose coach. She's been practicing transcendental meditation and yoga for over 15 years. She has also pursued studies in transcendental meditation, belief closet, parts work, Ayurvedic medicine, creative meditation and visualization, Reiki, as well as spiritual psychotherapy and psycho-oncology. Jackie, is there anything you'd like to add to that, or perhaps correct my pronunciation?
No, that was just perfect and covers everything. Thank you.
Oh, well, good. Well, we're so pleased to have you here, and I'm wondering, I know that there are some exercises that you often start your sessions with, and mm-hmm. if you'd like to start off with that, that would be great.
Yes, I usually start with a little centering exercise, so either breathing or meditation. So if everybody wants to just close their eyes and just bring your attention to your breath and just feel with every in-breath nourishing, energizing your cells. And then with every exhale, feel like releasing, purifying, letting go. With each breath, feel your muscles relaxing, getting softer. And again, nourishing on the in-breath and releasing and relaxing, purifying on the exhale. And just take a moment to really feel connected to your body. Feel any sensations throughout the body. And whatever comes up, just be accepting without judgment, just open to what's there in your space, your inner space. Good, and then just come back for another couple deep breaths. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
I'm wishing I had you in my living room every day.
I always feel cruel taking people out of meditations or relaxations.
I know.
They just are so, you know, they're so peaceful and well.
Yeah, it's a temptation to just let the dead air be there and then have people wondering if the show is streaming or not. Well, thank you, Jackie.
You're
that was certainly good for you and me in conducting this interview. So it's beautiful. Well, I know that you do have a story, and I'm wondering, a big story, actually, and I'm wondering if you could at least get us started by describing how it was that you were called to work with cancer patients.
Yes, going back to my history in marketing, worked in marketing for about 20 years, and in the last few years, I knew that I wanted to do something different. That's when I started taking the yoga teacher's training and the meditation work and finally the life coaching. And I started doing, things on the side, meditation workshops and whatnot, and I was at this one retreat and I was giving a meditation workshop. And I drove up with somebody, two people actually, and when I arrived, I said, I'm going to go do my meditation practice, and the woman that I had driven up with said, well, can I join you? And I thought that was kind of a funny request. I said, sure, no problem. So she did the meditation with me and, did the workshop and everything. And at the end of the weekend, she said, I want to hire you. And she was a cancer patient at the time. She said, I want to hire you to be my meditation coach and therapist.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, wonderful. And we worked together for at least 2 years on, if not weekly, bi-weekly sessions, incorporating yoga and coaching and breathing, and she just really found that it was so helpful on her cancer journey. So that was kind of the first sign, the first calling that I got. And
yeah.
a little bit later, I got asked to participate. I was a yoga teacher looking for some assignments, and I got asked to actually develop a methodology. Dr. Bally, who's my yoga teacher, his methodology, and teach it as part of a doctoral thesis proving that doing yoga and meditation during cancer treatments helps improve the quality of life of participants. So I participated in that for about 4 years. And so I just really feel like I was putting myself out there as a yoga and meditation teacher, and it was the universe or God that was bringing me to help cancer patients.
Isn't that something?
To help people that I think that I'm really made to and feel very fortunate to be able to help.
So even in that second opportunity, you had occasion to work with patients, cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
And what differences were you starting to see even at that early juncture in this new path for you?
Well, it's always easiest through stories. I had one in one of the first yoga, the research was 8 weeks of yoga with people, yoga and meditation, and the yoga included coaching about acceptance, about present moment living. And I had one client who had gotten her diagnosis. She had had surgery, but she was really worried about her children. She had three young girls, and she thought, you know, am I going to live to see them graduate? Mm. And you know what? And she was in this cycle of anxiety. And the day that we spoke about present moment living, she had this big shift.
Really?
She had this aha moment saying, you know, the present moment is all we have, and I am feeling fine. She was feeling just fine at that point.
Yeah.
And her kids were there in front of her. And
wow.
This just gave her this great gift to say, every day I'm going to love and appreciate my children so much, and even more, appreciate and put more attention
yeah.
on them than if she hadn't had this threat in her life. So, she found her blessing in just being and adoring her children every day that she had them.
You know, Jackie, in the True Purpose work that you and I both do, we studied a lot about the ego and the soul. And sometimes I think that the past and the future are the domains of the ego, and the soul wants us to stay in the I must be right. I'm getting tears in my eyes. And the soul wants us to live in the present.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that when we're fretting over the past or fretting over the future, or what might happen, and all those fears and limiting beliefs come up,
yeah.
that can prevent us, that can steal our present from us. Would you agree?
Exactly. I mean, that's a big part of what I teach is to stay present, to
wow.
live with what we're getting day to day. And you know, all the stress we create is from looking back or trying to change or regretting the past. Anticipating scary things in the future.
Which may or may not ever happen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, before we get more specifically into your message regarding cancer and the hidden blessing that's in it, would you say a little bit about your journey as a purpose coach and the training that you've received and how that is reinforcing? I know I'm leading you a little bit, as a good lawyer would do, right? But how that true purpose work that you've undergone, how that's helping you get more clear in your message and is supporting you in this journey of yours.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, part of the purpose journey is not just finding your purpose, because that seems to be, you'll probably agree, after a few years of finding your purpose, it's really living it and stepping into it that is the challenging part.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, that the ego and the soul, the dance of the ego and the soul, and when we find our purpose, it often feels scary. You know, and we say, am I up to it? You know, who am I to help cancer patients?
Right.
And specifically, who am I? Because I haven't lived through the cancer journey myself.
Yeah.
So all these fears come up. And, you know, our training is, you know, to understand that the ego, and this is natural, these fears that come up, and how to work with the fears and talk to the parts of us that are experiencing the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And really acknowledge it and then move through to really step into the place of power, the thing that we're supposed to do that's most meaningful, the way we're supposed to serve.
And it sounds as if you have a lot of certainty, a lot of clarity. You describe this as your most purposeful work, that you are indeed on the path you're meant to be on.
I certainly feel, and you know, if we look at some of the criteria of being on purpose, I feel so passionate. Just a quick story. Last Christmas, December 24th, I was up at 6 a.m. in the morning, not wrapping presents or preparing a meal or whatever. I literally was writing an article about cancer,
wow.
about this insight, this download that I was getting, and I had to write it down. You know, so I do feel very passionate, I feel driven, and I feel when I'm working with people, I just feel such joy to see the shifts that they make.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it feels, you know, definitely more purposeful. I love helping others find their life purpose and move through struggles, but when I work with cancer patients, it's just something special.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Well, say just a little bit more about how you've overcome any challenges, if you've had any challenges, about the fact that you yourself have not experienced cancer. I mean, I could imagine somebody being a little bit bitter, you know, and like, well, what do you know? You don't know what this is like. How mm-hmm. do you rise to that challenge if it's there? How do you handle that credibility piece of it if it comes up?
Yeah, I guess what I do is often talk about the calling and
okay.
talk about, you know, that I didn't wake up and choose to do this.
Yeah.
The universe and God have led me down this path, and talk about my passion. And I think that because I haven't lived it, I approach my teaching and my coaching with a lot of compassion.
Right.
And with a lot of understanding, not from a point of view of having been there, but just understanding of that suffering that they're
yeah.
going through.
Yeah.
So I think that I heighten that in myself because I haven't been through the experience.
And I would imagine you can draw upon, because certainly you are not pain-free in your journey. I haven't met a single person yet who's pain-free.
No,
so you can draw upon other woundings that you've had in your life, perhaps?
Yes, yes. I mean, mm-hmm. every struggle that we go through, you know, there's an opportunity for the blessing.
Yeah.
And, you know, my struggle was a lot about, you know, shifting from a work marketing that I was comfortable in, that I was making good money in, to something that was very different and a bit scary. You know, marketing and selling myself was much different than marketing and selling other products for other people. So I have struggled through that. And each, you know, I have to remind myself to look for my blessing and my struggle as I go through this transition.
Right, exactly. Very good. We do have a comment here for you from the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a person who is just encouraging you, and she's just saying what a needed ministry you have. That, that it is, there is a special gift that lies in a cancer diagnosis. And she says that her first husband was diagnosed when they were both 30, and how it truly can be a gift, you know,
yeah.
but, you know, I'm sure it is a challenge to consider it so.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, thank you for that comment. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, good. Well, let's talk about the five steps that you take people through, and I have a feeling it all relates to the word shift.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I help them shift.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I take people from the diagnosis and
mm-hmm.
from the fear and the emotions that come with that. And if we follow all the way through the steps, I take people through to a place what I call thriving. So instead of surviving, it's thriving.
Mm.
And my definition of thriving is somebody that feels better off for having lived their cancer experience and their cancer journey.
Mm-hmm.
So that they've made changes, they've found their purpose or found their passion, and they feel better off.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, as you mentioned, each step is identified with a letter in shift. So the first step is share, the S mm-hmm. of shift. And this is where they share their story, their fears, and we look at fears and see how we can turn them into empowered actions. And it's a big, big step, the first step, because we also, in this step, look for the blessing in the cancer. And we do this through meditation, through sort of subconscious work, and also through conscious work. And one of the things we do is look for the permission that the cancer is giving them. So, you know, permission to slow down, permission to reflect on their life, to say, am I really happy where I am?
Mm-hmm.
With my relationships, with my job, with my family, you know, am I fulfilled? And usually that permission is really a big gift for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes what they couldn't give themselves.
I would imagine particularly so in this day and age of hustle and bustle and
mm-hmm.
the drive to succeed and be number one and all the multitasking. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't have to do that now. I can reflect.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes we just go, we're going down a path so fast, we don't stop to see, are we on the right path?
Mm-hmm.
We're just going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the big gifts that we identify right away, is that permission. And the interesting thing about it is, once we discover what permission the cancer or any illness might be giving people, is you need to give yourself that permission. So if it's permission to slow down, if it's permission to look after yourself and to stand up for yourself, you need to give yourself that permission, so there's no reliance, on the disease to bring that permission.
Okay.
So we identify it, and then we say, okay, how can I give that to myself?
Wow.
So that I can let go of the need for the cancer. Because if we're needing it at the subconscious level, then we're still attracting it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step, a really big step, shifting from fear to empowerment and acceptance and finding that gift. The second step is heal, so the H in shift, and this is really a holistic approach to looking at wellness and the immune system and really understanding what fuels cancer cell growth, so sugar, inflammation, things like that, and then what fuels our immune response, so that people can start saying, okay, I'm going to change my diet in this way, I'm going to, you know, exercise in this way, and I'm also going to support myself and my immune system through greater joy, through doing what I love, through helping others. So in this step, a lot of what comes out is things that people can do every day to actively participate in their own healing.
Hmm.
And this is really empowering for people, so that, you know, they have more knowledge, they have more tools, and more clarity. And, you know, there's so much information out there. How can I take care of myself? What did I do wrong? This is not about looking back. It's
about
getting the knowledge and saying, okay, now I have this knowledge. How can I nurture myself in a new way?
In this moment, right now, today.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step two. Step three is the I. So it's ignite inner transformation. And this is a really important step, especially for women. It's about being and loving our authentic self. And as women, we are so good at nurturing others. And we've been, you know, sort of taught and trained and brought up to help others.
Right.
And be a good wife and be a good mother and be a good friend. And often, we don't know how to do it to ourselves. So this step is really about finding out what we need.
Mm-hmm.
How we can express it,
mm-hmm.
and accepting help. It sounds easy, but asking for and accepting help is a really big step for a lot of women. And this is, again, about being empowered. So shifting from any guilt or anger to self-love and forgiveness.
And I think for a lot of us, the idea of asking for help and becoming empowered seem like contradiction in terms,
mm-hmm.
when in actuality they're not.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Asking for help is about, you know, acknowledging our own needs and then getting them met, and that is empowering.
Yeah.
But it is a big step. Step four is feeling your passion, exploring your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk, hopefully I'll be able to share at least one story about a cancer thriver. But when I look at a bunch of different situations that I've encountered, what I find is the people that become thrivers on their cancer journey, they found something that they're passionate about.
Yeah.
And that passion just energizes their life and, you know, their journey, and it leads them to do things that they just never would have thought possible before. So it's really, really, the passion is just such a motivational factor. And it comes a little bit down to, you know, what we learn in purpose work is that everyone, it's just a deep human need to be able to serve and help others.
Right.
And when we find out how we can do it in a really meaningful way, it's just, propels us to new heights.
So we ignite the inner transformation, which then ignites our passion and our desire to live on purpose, and then we feel it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final step is thriving.
Okay.
And that's living in the flow. once you know your purpose and the difference you're meant to make, it's recognizing when doors are opening in front of you, you know, the opportunities that God and the universe are bringing to you,
mm-hmm.
and to step into them, step up and do our purpose and serve in the way that we're meant to.
Well, that's wonderful. And so this cancer shift program system process is something that you developed.
It is, yes.
How could people find out more about that? I mean, of course, we still have a lot more to talk about, but if they need to know right now, what can they do?
But my website is cancershift.com, and I'm currently offering a course called Deep Healing that covers the first two steps, so the sharing and
mm-hmm.
healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step, the igniting inner transformation, I have a course called Love Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for now, the other two steps, I do one-on-one coaching.
Okay,
do the passion
great.
And the thriving part.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they can just go to your website. And
yep.
What about your email address?
My email is jackie@cancershift.com.
Okay.
So please feel free to send questions or get more information.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds good. Sounds wonderful. And I'm glad that people have you as a resource. And I'm wondering if there is a message that stands out even above all the others, everything else that you said. If people just needed to hear one message from you, people who are cancer patients, what would that be?
That would be to each day bring laughter and joy and love into your heart, into your world, into your home. Because what happens when somebody has a diagnosis and they're going through treatments, everything can get a bit heavy. And people are, you know, can be a bit, they're confused, they don't know how to help. But it's just so important to consciously bring this joy into
mm-hmm.
the household. So it might be through, you know, renting funny movies. It might be, you know, just doing things that you love every day, nurturing yourself, bringing that joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that joy is so healing. And it shifts, again, people from the, you know, the difficulty, the struggle, it shifts to a place of love and joy, which is so much more healing.
And that's so true, whether we're concerned about cancer or another health issue or, you know, maybe something's going on with our children, you know, whatever it is, it's good to have that infusion of joy, right?
Yes. Joy, love, laughter.
Well, sounds good. I love that. And shifts, what would you say would be the biggest shift that most women have to make when they're on this healing journey?
I think that the biggest shift would be, again, that shift from caring for others to caring and nurturing themselves and making their needs known. I'll just tell a quick story. This, again, back to my research, when I was doing the yoga classes, there was an assignment. They had to go home and listen to this DVD every day and do a little yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one woman, and she had gone home, and older woman, maybe in her 60s, she had gone home and told her husband that she needed to have an area set up in her home to do her yoga workout. You know, and the couches had to be moved and this and that. And she told him that every day she needed to do this. And she came back to the class the next week, and she was just full of joy and energy because this had allowed her to step forward and say, you know what, this is what I need, and this is the help I need, and this is exactly how I need it. She expressed it clearly and directly. She got that help, and it was just like transforming in terms of her relationship with her husband and with those around her. She was all of a sudden realizing the power of understanding what she needed, asking for it, and getting it met.
So that was a huge aha moment for her, I'm sure.
It was. She just came back wanting to share and bubbling and
great.
Really, really lovely.
Do you have any other examples of those aha moments that you've helped your clients come to?
Yes, there was a recent one. One of the things that we do in step one, in my share step, is I help people realize that even though it doesn't feel this way, that we're choosing our emotions. So we're choosing how we react to things.
Mm.
And so I have them do this exercise, and any time in their day they feel a strong negative emotion, so they might feel anger, they might feel stress, they might feel guilt, whatever it is, that they stop and just be aware of it, really feel it, accept it, and then own it. So, you know, I created this.
Taking responsibility.
Yeah, I created this. I chose to, you know, this news came about whatever, and I chose to react like this. You know, my husband did this, and I chose to get upset. And this woman came back, and she called it magical. She said,
really?
Just stopping and understanding, you know, owning it, accepting the emotion, and then saying, you know what, next time, because, you know, it's too late when once you acknowledge you've experienced and lived the emotion. But she said, next time, I know that I'm going to be able to think a little bit before I react.
Oh, that's good.
So what it does is it creates this gap between the stimulus and the response.
Yeah.
And
just,
in this gap is our power to choose what kind of reaction we want.
That's right.
And once we know that negative emotions are not helping our healing journey, we can choose to continue to experience them, or we can choose to say, no, you know, next time I'm going to think and choose differently.
And of course, we can't be responsible for what other people say and do, but we are responsible for what we say and do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that reaction that you're describing, if you just like stopped a pen or something, okay, well, what reaction am I going to choose? What emotion, what thoughts will I be choosing right now? That would be really helpful in accepting responsibility for that.
Yeah, because I remember reading on one cancer wellness site, you know, eliminate all stress from your life.
Whoa.
And I thought, well, that's just impossible.
Yeah.
You know, the idea is not to eliminate it all, because it's not the stress that's the problem, it's our reaction to it.
Right.
And that we do have control over. So let's work on what we can control, not all the other things that are happening.
I know. I mean, stress-free, we'd be living in a bubble. And even there, we'd probably find stress somehow.
Yeah.
So would you say that that's one of the biggest issues, or is there something else that you help your patients deal with?
Well, the other thing, as I say that we can't control all the stress, I do encourage people to, you know, if somebody's calling them every day to find out how they're doing, if that isn't helping them, for them to be able to say, you know what would be really helpful is if you could take my daughter tomorrow afternoon and spend some time with her.
Speaking up.
Yeah, speaking up and saying, you know what, when you call every day, it's usually the time where I feel I'm trying to rest. And it's, you know, so help them understand that what you need may be something very different from what they're giving. And if you do that in a loving way, it can be a win-win. Because that person really wants to help. They don't want to bother you. But if they don't know, then it's not helping anybody.
Okay. So speak up and state what it is that you truly need.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in itself empowering, right?
Yes, yeah.
And again, true whether we have cancer or we don't.
Yes, exactly.
Was there something that is particularly difficult about your message or approach, about the shift process? Not so much for you on your end, but for the people who are receiving it, the women.
Well, one of the things that is very present for cancer patients at various stages of their journey is the fear of reoccurrence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I've gone through my surgery, I've gone through my chemo, and now I'm going back out into the world, and, you know, there's this what if. And every time you feel a pain, you know, it draws on this fear.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do throughout the coaching process is help them understand what I said before, that, you know, what is feeding the cancer, what is fueling their immune system, and particularly if there's a struggle somewhere in their life. And this is another aha moment that I had recently with a woman. You know, I talked about disease being dis-ease, so a lack of ease, a lack of alignment. And if there's somewhere in your life, if it's in a relationship or work or whatever, there's a lack of alignment between what you really want to be doing and what you're doing,
Mm-hmm.
It shows up as this inner turmoil, this mm-hmm. inner stress. So if people can understand that if they're hanging on to something, if they're sweeping something under the rug, if they're not dealing with a problem, that is going to hold them back on their healing journey. And that dealing with it can be really one of the keys to deep healing and to discovering that feeling of empowerment.
Yeah.
Of stepping up.
Well, it just seems throughout the interview that the message of empowerment and healing mm-hmm. is so strong that they are very closely connected.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, so once people understand, okay, I need to deal with some of the issues in my life, some of the lack of alignment, then I'm working on my diet, I know about the exercise, even the importance of exercise, I'm understanding the role that my emotions have, all these things together give people, I think, that confidence to say, I am doing everything I can to stay healthy and
right.
and aligned and feeling well. And again, that feeling of love and laughter and joy
mm-hmm.
throughout my life. And I think it's not a guarantee, but it's a pretty good assurance that you know, the path to health is going to be a long one. The staying healthy is going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a family member with cancer, and he's been struggling. I'm not going to say struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He's been living with it and working with it, befriending it,
you know,
in the past 6 years or so, and has done really well. And he made a big change in his, he was always one to exercise, but a big change in his eating habits. And he's been very, very careful and gotten medical assistance as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of him. You know,
yeah.
I think that would be very challenging and difficult and, but I think he embodies what you're saying about, and he does meditate, you know, maybe not the same way you do. He uses tapes like at 4 a.m, you know, it's how he starts his day, but it's a lot of what you're suggesting here is what he's done on his journey. And it seems like it's really, really been helpful. I mean, when I engage with him, I don't even think about, you know, I don't see a big C on his forehead or anything, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know, he's doing great.
Yeah.
So, definite example of these processes, as you would say,
mm-hmm.
that seem to be working well. And speaking of meditation, how do you do that, and how does that affect the cancer patients that you've been working with?
Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, we start each session with a short meditation,
mm-hmm.
and that really kind of helps people center. But I also have a guided meditation that I give out to everybody, so that's on my website, and that's an immune booster with meditation and guided visualization. And it really, you know, the premise is that when you're visualizing and feeling something happen, the body is reacting immediately to it. So if you're in a scary movie,
yeah,
and you're feeling scared, your palms start to sweat, right?
That's true.
And
your
breath changes. Yet there's no danger. You know, it's just, it's all thought.
I'm still remembering Jaws. Now that's going way back. And my friends and I actually found ourselves with our feet up on the seat. You know, that shark, it might be swimming under our seats in the movie theater.
So the body reacts to our thoughts immediately.
Yep.
The body doesn't know the difference between the reality and a thought. It just sees them all as thoughts. So when we're visualizing and feeling the immune system, you know, being strengthened and more immune cells being produced, then that's just the signal that we're giving the body. And I had one client using my guided meditation every day, and she said that she recently went to get some scans done, and the doctor said something like, the tumors are literally melting away. And I was just so proud of her.
Wow.
Just doing her work, just being there for herself and dedicating the time to the meditation every day. And it's just great results, yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, what about you? What do you find challenging? You know, I'm sure there's quite a bit. So what do you find most particularly challenging and most particularly rewarding in your work with cancer patients?
I guess challenging, I would say, probably asking them to take some ownership of their cancer.
Okay.
And I, you know, preface that with cancer is a complicated disease that nobody really understands, and you can't pinpoint it to one thing. But I ask them to acknowledge that some of the things that they may have been doing in the past have contributed to where they are at. And by acknowledging and owning that, it means that some things that they do in the future are going to help the healing.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so if you come to the doctor with the cancer saying, okay, can you just cut this out and get rid of it, and then I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe that is as powerful as saying, okay, you know, you can get it cut out, you can get your chemo, but just acknowledge that you've been participating in creating an environment in your body that may have been feeding the cancer.
I bet that is hard.
It is. You know, the stress, the inner turmoil, the diet, all those things help to create an environment that may be feeding the cancer cells.
Wow.
So it's hard to say it, but when they kind of, you know, I've seen the heads nodding, going, yeah, okay. And then the next step is you can change all that. It's in your control again. So it's not just about the doctors and the chemo. You're doing something that's meaningful in terms of the healing.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's hardest to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
What was
and rewarding,
question?
I guess part of the rewarding is when they do make the shift and realize, okay, well, if I did X, Y, and Z, that might have helped bring it about, I can do these other things that will help put it in remission or heal, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I don't know if we have time, but I did want to share one story about a cancer thriver.
Definitely.
So this is somebody that I met last October. Her name is Joyce O'Brien, and she was diagnosed 10 years ago with a stage 4 cancer. Which the doctors said they couldn't treat. And it's quite an incredible story because at the same time her husband had a cancer diagnosis, a serious one, and they had a 3-year-old child. And she had such a strong will to live that she just said, okay, you know, I have to live. I cannot leave my child without parents.
Right.
And she just opened up to whatever guidance she needed to get healed.
Okay.
And that included, you know, prayer, that included finding the right nutritionalist. It included going to a center in Switzerland that she didn't know how she was going to pay for, and the money came in at the last minute, you know, taking those leaps of faith. And she ended up at the end of her journey writing a book about it.
Yeah.
And she's now 10 years cancer-free, and so is her husband.
Oh, my gosh, it's beautiful.
It is like a miracle.
Yeah.
And she used to be a Wall Street executive.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what she was probably feeling, that, you know, some inner turmoil. She had a stressful job, a busy life, not enough time with her daughter. And she let that all go. And she's now like an author. She's doing speaking. And she's a vibrant health consultant.
Wow.
And this is, again, the changes that she just would not have even considered had she not had, and this was her second cancer. She wouldn't have quit her job. She needed income. But, you know, the cancer
gave her permission.
Gave her permission, exactly. And it has led her to such an amazing life and such a different path than she and her husband were on before.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's really a special journey.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Thank you. Well, before I shift into talking about you as an entrepreneur and what you've done a little bit more, is there anything else that you want to add, any final piece of advice or thought for cancer patients who may be listening to this? You've given so much already. Is there anything else?
I would say just to, you know, go out and find the information that you need, find the help that you need, and be open. Like Joyce, this woman was literally guided to all these opportunities. So just be open and be aware. Ask for what you need, whether it's through prayer or through, you know, literally asking people. And then just be open to accepting and following, you know, the doors that are opening.
Well, I think that actually leads into the tip or strategy that you would give for any of our listeners, whether we have cancer or not. So would you just speak to that a little bit?
Definitely. Following your heart. You know, we all have these little nudges, these knowings, you know, call it intuition, the sixth sense, whatever, but follow your heart and let it lead you to your passion. And that passion is just so powerful, it's so energizing, and it's transforming. So look for it. Look for
excellent.
That passion. And
excellent.
And step boldly towards it.
There you go. There you go, with confidence and clarity of purpose, right?
Yes.
That's what we're all about. Wonderful. Well, let's talk about you as an entrepreneur, okay? I know, because you and I are similar in this, I know what it's like. I have a pretty good idea of what you've gone through, of leaving a career where you were pretty high-powered, if we want to use that word, powered, and certainly had a certain sense of security, of income and all of that, and now look at what you're doing. So can you share with us what that's like as an entrepreneur, as a woman entrepreneur going through that journey?
I can, and I think one of the things that's been really interesting for me is I quit my marketing officially last June.
Yeah.
And so it's almost been a year, and my income has been varied, but I've definitely been in a position and for the first time in my life where I've kind of been supported by my husband. And
wow.
I really appreciate and love him for it, but it's a position that's a little bit uncomfortable.
Right.
And
I mean,
so
he supported you emotionally before, but
exactly.
You mean supported financially,
right? Financially, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a position now that I'm going to be better able to relate to as I help people go through any major life changes like that and that involve a shift in career. And it's a bit humbling. And part of my challenge, especially when working with cancer patients, is charging for my services. There are a lot of wonderful organizations that offer things for free, like free yoga and meditation and whatnot. And I really, as I help more and more people, I get more and more confident that what I have is valuable.
Yes.
And as people pay for things, I'm also learning that they place more value on it. And
absolutely.
So somebody that's showing up for a free course versus somebody that's paid, you know, several hundred dollars that was really maybe difficult for them to find.
Yeah.
They are more present. You know,
they
are doing their homework and they're there for themselves, you know, getting the most out of the course. So I have to remind myself of that as I'm
out. You're doing them a favor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're able really to touch more lives, and then they in turn are able to touch more lives themselves because they've invested.
Yes. Yeah. So that's been a big challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing is just getting known in this sphere of, you know, cancer and healing. And I was in marketing of consumer products before, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's a big step to try and get known and get out there and get speaking. And
It's completely different when you're marketing something else, whether it's somebody else's product or somebody else's service, and then marketing yourself, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about that a little bit. Okay. Do you think that, this is a leading question. I'll just call it out. Do you think that sometimes it's a little bit harder for women to market themselves?
I would say yes. You know, I think social conditioning kind of maybe not necessarily leads, not necessarily brings us less confidence, but less outward expression of how good we are.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not as boastful maybe or as extroverted about what we do and how we can help. So I think it is more challenging for women.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about in our show last week about sales with Karen Graves and how actually, you know, if we're not out there telling people what we can do, we are really doing the world a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in actuality it's our moral obligation to tell people what we do.
Yeah.
Or we're hiding. You know, we're hiding behind our computers. You know, if we're not calling people, if we're not talking about what we do in a radio show, if we're not going to networking events, you know, whatever it is, we're basically hiding our gift under a bushel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think, you know, you talk about shift and, you know, mental shifts and emotional shifts and all that. Whether we have cancer, we're an entrepreneur, or both, you know, whatever it is, there, you go through life and there are limiting beliefs that come up and we need to get over that, don't we?
Yeah.
So how has that journey been for you this year? Has it been an up and down thing for you, or has it been a steady climb? Has it been horizontal?
It's been up and down, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, peak moments of feeling like amazing, I'm helping people, I'm doing what I'm meant to do, and then moments of, well, where are all these people? Where are all these other people I'm meant to serve?
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's taught me patience,
mm-hmm.
and it's taught me, you know, to have the courage to get out there with my message and be more bold about it.
There's several... Heart and Soul has been around now for about a year and a half, and especially when Beth Scanzani was my co-host, my love and adore, another True Purpose coach, she and I would frequently talk about the parts work that needs to be done. So can you speak a little bit to how you have worked on your parts, whatever name we want to come up with, those voices in our head? Some people refer to them with you know, pejorative terms like gremlins and saboteurs. We don't necessarily buy into that. But what do you do? What do you do with those voices in your head that say, oh, no, 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 you can't go do this. You haven't had cancer. Or no, 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 you can't stand up and speak in front of all those people. They'll laugh at you or criticize you. How do you do it? What do you do?
Well, I do converse with these parts. You know, I try and understand the root of their concern or their cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's really amazing is when you ask the part for advice.
Isn't that wild?
Okay? Yeah, you say, okay, you might be right. You know, maybe I haven't had enough experience public speaking. And then it's, well, get out there and, you know, you've been thinking about Toastmasters for years. Why haven't you done that yet? Okay, I'm going to do it. And Toastmasters is one of the things that I've been doing over the last 6 months. So it's conversing, it's hearing those parts and then asking them for ideas, suggestions. Because they, you know, if there's a fear, if there's something holding you back, there's often a message there that's very meaningful and very helpful.
Right.
So you don't want to shut the part down. You want to listen to it and get that message.
And I think that's so incredible because I think we're ingrained to say, oh, it's a negative voice. It's a nagging voice. I shouldn't be listening to it.
Right. I'm going to dismiss it.
I'm going to dismiss it.
Yeah.
That's not very friendly of us, is it?
No.
So basically, we can help change the relationship with our parts so that we're working together and rowing in the boat in the same direction, right? To use the collaborative operating system terminology.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Well, good. And you found that has served you well.
Yes. I've gotten lots of great ideas from my parts.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yay.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, what I'd like to do right now, if I may, is just say a word about next week's show. It's actually right on point. I'm so glad that it's on the heels of yours. I will be interviewing Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, and she is the CEO and founder of Snap Out of It Women, Snap Out of It Radio Network, and the Wake Up, Stand Up, and Snap Out of It Women's Conferences, which are all designed to bring clarity and confidence to women who desire success. So she's amazing, and she is a Blog Talk Radio show host, so I recommend that you listen to her shows as well. And that's how we know each other, is through being Blog Talk Radio show hosts. But Dee Dee is going to be talking to us about how she struggled with alcoholism and how that struggle held her back for decades. She's a beautiful, beautiful singer, and the alcohol just sent her down, held her back. And it was terrible, but she had a snap out of it moment, as she describes it, and she'll talk to us about how she used that snap out of it moment to actually bring her beautiful voice now to heal herself, to find her power, and now she helps do that for other people.
Beautiful.
So, yes, it's a complete shift. She must have gone through the shift process. So we look forward to having her here on Heart and Soul. Would you, each week we have our guests say a quote that's particularly meaningful to them, and I would love it if you would do that now.
Yes. My quote is, "Why did all this happen? No one can be sure. I only know how grateful I am that it did happen. This has been the greatest blessing I could ever imagine."
Mm.
And that is Joyce O'Brien speaking of her cancer experience from stage 4 cancer.
Love that. And of course, she was the lady you were referring to earlier.
Exactly.
Well, good. Well, would you feel comfortable praying for people who may be listening who are undergoing this cancer journey right now?
You bet.
Thank you.
So I would like to offer prayer for everyone on their cancer journey, that they may find their blessing, find the strength and the empowerment they need to heal at a deep level, and always have that faith and that hope that the journey will bring them to a place of thriving, and that God is with them throughout their journey.
Thank you, Jackie. That's wonderful.
Okay.
And would you state again how people can reach you?
Yes, my website is cancershift.com. And on the website, you can listen to my free immune booster meditation. So that's a 15-minute meditation. And I also have a teleseminar happening this Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, if anybody wants to find out more about my deep healing course that's starting next week.
Good. And so should they contact you by your email to find out more about it?
Yes, Jackie@cancershift.com.
Fabulous. Oh, Jackie, I love you. I just want to tell everybody that Jackie and I have never met, but we've been on our purpose journey together. We're both members of the community, the True Purpose Institute community of purpose coaches, and it's just been such a pleasure to get to know you, and I'm so happy that you were able to be on the show today.
Oh, I am thrilled as well. And you are doing your purpose so beautifully through this show. It's so energizing to listen to you.
Oh, your sweetheart. Thank you. I love it. And when we love what we do, I guess it shows.
Yeah.
I also love cheerleading, so I wish you could have seen me when I was in high school, because it showed then too. It'd be kind of funny to do it now, but I certainly enjoyed that in high school. Well, thank you, Jackie. And thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Heart and Soul for Women of Faith, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Prosperity with Jory Fisher. You can access the archive to Jackie's interview later today and all of my interviews at my website, womenfindpurpose.com. And a special blessing for all of you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you right here, right now, and give you peace. God bless you, Jackie. May you continue to touch lives.
Thank you very much, Tori.
I know you will. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.